Nomoto presents classical music giants. Claude Debussy, Impressionist of Sound. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 8 minutes. The sun is setting over Paris, and through the open window of a small apartment drifts the sound of a piano, gentle chords, harmonies that blur like watercolors, melodies that seem to float rather than march. Inside, a man leans over the keyboard, sketching ideas on paper, then striking a chord again to test its color. He is not interested in rules or traditions. He wants sound to breathe like light, like air, like waves. This is Claude Debussy, the composer who broke with centuries of musical convention and taught the world that music could paint, could shimmer, could suggest rather than declare. Debussy was born in 1862 in Saint-Germain-en-Laye, near Paris, the eldest of five children. His father ran a modest china shop, his mother was a seamstress. The family was not wealthy, but when young Claude showed talent, a wealthy patroness arranged piano lessons. At age 10, he entered the Paris Conservatoire, the bastion of classical tradition. There he studied piano and composition, but even as a student, he chafed against authority. Teachers complained that he disregarded rules of harmony, that his chords were incorrect. But his imagination was stronger than obedience. He heard sounds differently as colors and textures. In 1884, he won the prestigious Prix de Rome, which sent him to Italy to study and compose. Yet he hated the academic expectations, the pressure to imitate past masters. What inspired him more were the sounds of gamelan music he later heard at the Paris Exposition of 1889, Indonesian percussion ensembles whose scales and rhythms opened new horizons. He realized that Western harmony was only one path among many, and he sought to free music from its chains. Debussy's early works already showed independence. Clair de Lune, composed in the 1890s, evokes moonlight in gentle phrases, less a melody than a mood. His string quartet in G minor, 1893, blends lush harmonies with restless motion. But it was his opera Pelléas E.T. Melisande, 1902, that established him as revolutionary. Based on Maeterlinck's symbolist play, the opera abandons grand arias and spectacle for whispered dialogue, subtle orchestral colors, an atmosphere of mystery. Some critics hated its vagueness, others hailed it as the dawn of modernism. The term impressionism, borrowed from painting, was often applied to Debussy, though he disliked it. Like Monet and Renoir, he captured fleeting impressions, moods, light. But he preferred to call himself a symbolist, closer to poets like Mallarmé, who suggested rather than described. His music dissolves boundaries. Chords drift, keys blur, rhythms float. It is less about direction than about atmosphere. He once said, "Music is the space between the notes." Debussy's piano works embody this vision. The two books of preludes, 1909-13, are landscapes in sound. Voiles, sails, with its whole tone scales, La Cathedral Inglaudi, the sunken cathedral, rising from the depths in resonant chords, few d'artifice, fireworks, bursting with brilliance. His estamps, prints, evoke exotic scenes, pagodas influenced by gamelan, La Soirée d'en Grenade with its Spanish rhythms. His images and children's corner suite show playfulness, delicacy, wit. He reinvented the piano as an instrument of color, not just line. His orchestral works are equally groundbreaking. Prélude à l'après-midi d'un faune, 1894, inspired by Mallarmé's poem, opens with a languid flute solo that seems to dissolve tonality. It scandalized conservatives, but enchanted younger composers like Ravel and Stravinsky. La Mer, 1905, his symphonic sketches, portrays the sea not with literal storm but with shifting textures, glittering surfaces, currents of sound. It remains one of the greatest tone poems, painting water in music. Nocturnes, 1899, explore moods of clouds, festivals, sirens. Everywhere Debussy rejects rigid form for fluidity, suggestion, mystery. Debussy's personal life was stormy. He was passionate, difficult, often selfish. He married, separated, took lovers, scandalized Parisian society. He was sensitive to criticism, sometimes defensive, but he followed his path regardless of gossip. Ill health plagued him in later years, yet he continued to compose, pushing boundaries further. His ballet Jew, 1913, commissioned by Diaghilev, anticipated modernism with fragmented motifs. The First World War darkened his final years. He wrote his late sonatas for chamber groups, violin, cello, flute, harp, delicate, concise, enigmatic. He died in 1918 of cancer as German artillery shelled Paris. His funeral was quiet, the city under attack. Yet even amid war, his music spoke of beauty, of fleeting light. Debussy's legacy is profound. He broke the dominance of Germanic symphonic tradition, opening music to new colors, new freedoms. Without him, Ravel, Stravinsky, Messiaen, jazz harmonies, even film scores, would be unthinkable. He showed that harmony could float, that rhythm could breathe, that music could suggest rather than declare. He gave sound the qualities of painting and poetry. What makes Debussy a giant is not only innovation, but intimacy. His music speaks softly, yet its impact is vast. It invites you to listen not for narrative, but for moment, not for march, but for shimmer. It is music of water, of light, of dream. It dissolves walls, invites imagination. It is endlessly fresh, endlessly mysterious. Listen to Debussy and you hear moonlight, see spray, distant bells, whispers of lovers, shadows of dreams. You hear freedom from rules, yet also refinement. You hear a man who gave music new wings, who painted in sound, who left behind not monuments, but impressions that never fade. Claude Debussy remains the painter of sound, the symbolist of music, the composer who freed the ear.